It's your boy DJ Marky J here, and I'm with DJ Nezzy Nez. That's what we came up with, DJ Nezzy Nez. I'd like to welcome St. Louis, St. Anne Police Chief Aaron Jimenez, who was elected on April 2nd, 2013, in an overwhelming margin of community voters, almost by 75%. He has a lifetime resident, lives in St. Anne. His children attend Rittner School District. Jimenez leads a staff of 45 full-time officers and 35 reserves. He led changes within the local department with a great approval from community and the department.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So we did say that it's our tradition for guests to show and create their own DJ name, and that's what we came up with, DJ Nezzy Nez or DJ Jimmy. What would be yours?
Boy, I would have to say something like DJ Easy.
DJ
Easy E, something like that.
All right, DJ Easy. What made you become a police officer?
You know, it's kind of a long story, but I'll try to make it short. Grew up on St. Anne Lane in St. Anne. Mm-hmm. And when I was in first grade, I'll never forget, my mom and my dad got into a domestic violence situation. And my mom was obviously pretty hurt. And the officer that responded to the scene, I'll never forget it. I looked at him, and just the command, the presence alone of being a police officer. And actually, that officer's name was Jack Harlan, who I actually got to work with when I first started. That was his last year of police work, and I think that made a big impact. Why I wanted to be a police officer, the way that he was controlling that scene, and you know what had occurred. So,
all right. What steps did you have to take to become a chief of the St. Anne Department?
You know, being elected is a lot of political, political things going on. However, being a DARE officer, having all of those steps, DARE officer, school resource officer, undercover narcotics agent, detective, juvenile detective, you name it, PR schools, command leadership school. All of those kind of things contributed for me to be a chief, but ultimately the voters are the ones that spoke, which I think spoke highly, about 75% of the vote, and that's how I was elected. So those are the things I think that that you need to have in order to be a police chief. You know,
that's a lot. What is the scariest thing that happened to you while you were working?
You know, one of the scariest things I think happened to me is when I got into a police shooting. I'll never forget it. My boss at the time, who is now Captain John Langford, I remember him. He was working, Major Schreiber, my major now, and a couple of the other guys, Captain Barry, and so on. These guys were working, but I'll never forget. It started off where a female had actually been hit on the side of the highway. Mm-hmm. It appeared to me that would happen. That's what had occurred. I chased the actual truck. This guy was driving a truck. It was tinted windows. You could barely see through. And I had chased him for a long time. And I'm talking about 35 to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. At one point, we passed the school bus where children were getting off, and he had actually turned around and pointed a gun at me. Mm-hmm. I'd never had that happen before. We ended up into Illinois, just by Route 3, just crossed the bridge 270. And he pointed the gun at me, and his truck actually had gotten stuck, and I took like six to eight shots in fear of my life.
Dang.
Yeah, so that was probably the scariest thing that I've had happen to me.
Yeah. All right.
Very traumatic.
Yeah. What changes in your department since taking control have had the most impact on the community?
You know, public relations. I think, looking at it now, where of course with the unrest in Ferguson, and it's not just there, it's everywhere, and I believe that having good public relations with the community, that if you have that within your community, you're going to survive, especially at this day and age. There's no more just hey, it's my way or the highway. Whether you believe in that philosophy or not, I believe that having our public relations is one of the biggest things. But this is what I tell everybody. It's not what we're doing now. We've been doing this for the last, 18 years and so on, where you have DARE officers in schools. You commit to programs such as National Night Out, Santa Ana Day Parade, which we have coming up on Sunday. When you do that stuff and you're making that impact with community and public relations, that type of skills and building skills, I think that's huge. And I think that's one of the things that we're really doing good and very positive right now.
It is good.
Thank you.
Many of our students know you from days spent as a resource officer. What did you enjoy the most about working with students?
Kids make mistakes.
Yeah.
Big time. there wasn't a time where I would come to work every day and that there was some kind of problem with a student. Mm-hmm. And whether it was a fight, whether it was they were they had a trouble with maybe their grades. And I think one of the things that most hit me that I remember is some of the most traumatic events. Such as, unfortunately, I've dealt with many situations of sexual or child abuse, and those things really hit my heart. Mm-hmm. And I believe those were one of the most rewarding things, that when I was able to actually help them or write a police report, along with counseling when you're a school resource officer, mm-hmm. when you get to counsel kids. And listen, when something like that happens, I'll never forget, my captain, Kevin Langford, told me, he's like, these kids will never be the same. And I told him that every month I'll say something like that. And that is true. When mm-hmm. something like that traumatic happens to somebody, those children will never, ever be the same. And so I think helping kids and trying to either take them home from school or buy baseballs or buy hockey equipment, all that kind of stuff, I think those are the things that were most rewarding for me, is just flat out helping people.
It has been reported in the local media that St. Anne's Police Department has given out the most tickets than any department in the St. Louis area. Why is that?
Back in 2009, we averaged 365 accidents on Highway 70 in our venue. 365 accidents.
That's like every year.
Yeah, correct. It averaged one a year, and every year after we started doing that in 2009, from 2009 until 2014 so far, all the stats showed that we've had 10, I believe it's 10, 12, and 14 accidents a year. So by having Chief Schrader before me, mm-hmm. He was the chief, and for him to set up that program, and of course my major now, who works a lot of that detail, I get to hear the stories and hear and see the things of people speeding with 80, 85, 90 miles an hour, 103 yesterday, so on like that. It needs to be enforced.
Yeah.
And so that's why, unfortunately, when people are going to complain that they get a ticket, listen, nobody likes it when they receive a ticket. Nobody. It's just not a good feeling when you get one. But the bottom line is, if you don't speed, if you don't break the law, you're not going to get in trouble. So we have written a lot of tickets, and at the same time too, we do help people too. There was a lady that was going to get married last week, mm-hmm. and she was crying. She came into the station, and she was, "Do you think you can help us out with this ticket?" And so I asked the prosecuting attorney, and the prosecuting attorney, felt for her, felt mm-hmm. bad for that situation, and was able to nollyprost that. So there's more stories like that, but bottom line to your question is, we've written a lot of tickets, but it definitely is for safety.
What other efforts does your department do to keep its residents safe?
Extra patrols, one of the good things that we started doing at night. Of course, most of your crimes, your stealings mm-hmm. out of motor vehicles or break-ins occur at nighttime. And one of the things that we started doing was driving with our alley lights on the outside, from usually about 11 o'clock at night to 4:30 in the morning, and they drive real slow, and you get both of the alley lights on left and right. It allows mm-hmm. the officers for a good effective patrolling while being able to look both sides and realize that, hey, a lot of these suspects like to hang out near cars that are parked in the driveways or mm-hmm. tucked up next to a house. And so I think, things like that that we're doing, that's good, effective police work, and I'm really proud of those guys. They've little stuff like that that we're doing, and of course public relations, mm-hmm. putting out things in the local light, programs and pamphlets that we have at the station. And man, one of the most things that I'm proud of is our neighborhood watch. Our neighborhood watch is one of the most successful around. I brag about it all the time. It's huge. I invite you guys to come. It's every one. I'm sorry. It's the last Thursday of every month. And of course, unless we cancel it for like a Christmas or some mm-hmm. kind of holiday or yeah. you know what have you. But you know, those things are keeping our residents safe, and communication. That's we get to do that through neighborhood watch and through our pamphlets and just good old patrolling, stopping by when residents are taking in their groceries. I've had officers such as, I'll never forget this, your school resource officer, Elliot Miller. Mm-hmm. You know, many times have I seen this officer just get out and bringing groceries to people's houses. People are mowing their lawn, and he'll get out and, you know, shake their hand and, hey, mm-hmm. how you doing? You know, things like that. So those are all the things that we're doing to keep our residents safe.
All right. Where does you and your department stand on the use of speeding cameras?
I think there's a benefit to speed cameras. At the end of the day, if you don't speed, you're not going to get caught. Yeah. Okay. And with all the racial tension that's going on, hey, I'm a minority. You know, you guys, minorities, and the speed cameras cannot tell a person's race. So how do you fight? You know what I mean? I mean, there's always that what if, or you know, the conversations that go back mm-hmm. when you write people tickets and so on. But like I said, if you don't speed, you're not going to get a ticket. If you don't speed, you're not going to get in trouble. So I think they can be beneficial. But at the mm-hmm. same time, just like there's positives, you know, there are a couple police departments that have had those speed cameras, and you don't write people for only going 3 over mm-hmm. for crying out loud. I mean, you want to give a good grace period in there where you might not write somebody over unless you're going over 10 miles mm-hmm. an hour, you know, such as the highway. I'm not afraid to say this. On the highway, we don't write tickets unless you're 11 over. Now, if you're doing another if you're committing another violation with that, such as speeding 9 over, but you're following somebody too closely mm-hmm. or you're in and out of traffic, right. careless and imprudent, and so on, then we'll write those tickets. But and the reason why I'm not afraid to say that we don't write those tickets until 11 and over is because people don't care. And I'm not saying in general, I'm saying those people who keep speeding, commit crimes, listen, they don't care. And they're not going to listen to these programs and so on, you know? I mean, they just don't care, period. So.
All right. In August, police throughout the region were called into Ferguson to help with the riot and crowd control. How did this affect you as a police officer? How did it affect your police force?
It was traumatic. That's the word I'm going to use. All of our police officers are from our major on down. No sleep, extra hours. It was just traumatic. And still to this day, listen, things have changed. After all that has occurred, things are still not right. And I think that everybody knows that they feel that tension in the air, like, oh, what are we going to do here? And what happens if this occurs? And, I mean, the answer to your question is it was traumatic. A lot of not sleeping. Mm-hmm. And I feel for my guys. Those guys are out there. They're working their tails off every day. They were put on call, mm-hmm. so even though they're working 12 hour shifts, they would still have to turn around and get called back out and go down to Ferguson and you know grab a riot shield and a stick and you know yes. stand next to their brothers and sisters in blue and try to keep people safe. So it was definitely traumatic.
How does the local police make peace with his community after Ferguson?
I don't want to brag, mm-hmm. but I really believe this, that our community here, and I'm talking about Santa Ana, Overland, St. John, you name it, Breckenridge, what have you. Listen, a lot of these officers are making a difference in the community. And unfortunately, people do not keep stats on all the good things that you do for people. Mm-hmm. You know, one of your SROs here, and I'm gonna get to my point here in a minute, but Jacqueline Evans, one of your school resource officers here, had some kids that were throwing baseballs or this is like one like hard baseball, whatever, mm-hmm. throwing it off the back of our building, you know, causing damage. It could have been easy for her to say, hey, you're under arrest. You're going to be arrested for property damage and haul them into jail and then call their parents and you know, not make a good relationship building experience there. Mm-hmm. But like my major said, Major Schreiber, you know, he's like, you know what, you really need to commend her. And I do commend her. She turned around, brought the three kids, brought them down to Big Lots and bought them baseballs and little soft sponge balls, yeah. and then took them to a park. You know, those are the kind of things that aren't on record, mm-hmm. and I believe that we are making peace every day. Like I said, this isn't just something that all of a sudden happened down there and every community around here is bad or might not have. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody has their mistakes. Mm-hmm. Officers, doctors, it doesn't matter. But I think that with what we talked about just a couple questions ago about what are the things we're doing to make these residents safe, the PR, the public relations, the efforts to have that relationship in a loving and caring and an experience with the community, those are the things that we're constantly doing to have peace in our community.
What changes, if any, are going to be made by St. Anne based on the Ferguson?
Really good question. I'm torn here, okay? This is something that, you know, the major and I discussed at lunch, and I believe that he's right along with a lot of us that when we're thinking like this, listen, we didn't have that problem. And at the end of the day, this is a good question, but I don't know about making any changes because I felt like, listen, if you're an employee, period, mm-hmm. you can always do things to make things better. That's what we get to do as human beings is strive for excellence, strive for hard working, which I believe that the men and women that are behind me in the St. Anne Police Department are exceptional employees. And I mean that. And so I have a little trouble here because when we're using the example for Ferguson, listen, at the end of the day, what happened there? I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. And I think this was a ploy to, and I want to make sure I choose my words right, mm-hmm. you know, right. But I think it made it into a race war, which I think it hurt the community. You know, had things been talked about civilly, you know, regardless of what you guys' opinions are or mine of who's innocent, who's not, and so on, we're definitely going to take a lot from this, such as, like you said, what changes. I mean, one of the changes that's going to come out is sounds like body cameras are going to be almost mandatory in most police departments, unless, of course, somebody puts up a big fight about it. But yeah. Listen, if we're not doing anything wrong, we're going out there, whether we have body cameras on or not, whatever, we're going to still make our difference and we're still going to strive for excellence. So that's hopefully I answered that good enough. Mm-hmm.
Good. So we did do a lot about talking about the community, about what you love about your community. Is there anything teens can do to get better involved in their community?
I believe programs such as the Neighborhood Watch, if kids were able to come to those events, your National Night Out, which our National Night Out in St. Anne is at T. Meyer Park, mm-hmm. Friday, October 3rd, from 7 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock at night. So from 7 to 9, there's activities, games, events. Almost our whole entire police force is going to be there. If kids would get involved in activities like that and events, I think they're going to see also a different side of police officers and how mm-hmm. and how they approach people and stuff. Because, I mean, let's face it, you guys know when you come across a police officer that might have had a bad day or one that just doesn't like to talk to people, yeah. you know? So, but the answer to that question, I think that if kids can get to these events and participate in these events, I think that's a really good, positive approach in building relationships between the police and the community.
Now, I know Overland Police Department, I think they had like a little program called Junior Explorers mm-hmm. or something like that. It was like a first level stage before you had to be old enough to get into the academy, become a police. Do St. Anne do anything like that?
You know, I started a I started a student police academy back in 99 and 2001. So for 3 years, I had a student police academy at Hake Middle School where I put them almost like through the real academy, the physical exercise, the homework assignments. But they also had to participate in all of the activities. And if they didn't, then, you know, we had a sign that, you know, or a piece of paper that was signed by their parents that said, hey, listen, if the kids don't participate and so on, you know, then they would be kicked out of the program. But we have done something like that. And this is actually an idea that I am exploring with Captain Barry to maybe even start some kind of explore program like that. So that's good because Hazelwood had one, Bridgeton had one, Overland had one, and I think Bridgeton does not have one now. But you have to remember, too, when we participate and we start programs like that, it costs a lot of money for startup. Mm-hmm. You're having to send these kids, and it is a liability. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about somebody that you're not pretending, but you're building that relationship and starting to focus on them being a police officer. And if they're wearing something that says CNN and they're an explorer and they do something wrong, that's our insurance, that's our community that gets affected in that. So, but yeah, we're planning on doing something like that.
Is there anything we didn't ask that you would like to share with our listeners?
I'm hoping that every officer that, because I was bragging about coming here with you guys today, and I was so excited that I get to have this experience, because I've only had one other time that I was on the radio, and I really enjoyed it. But I want my community to know, and I apologize. I want our community to know that it's not about CNN. It is about our community and the differences that we make, whether it's something that occurred in CNN or St. John or whatever. We're all in this together, and that I can tell our residents in CNN that you have a class rate A police department, and we're going to keep doing things to build and thrive and be successful, and that I absolutely love and care about all of our police officers that work in CNN. So that's why I want them to know that I back them, and man, they are some hard working, caring individuals that wear that badge, and that four of them obviously come to your school every day, and that love being here. So that's what I would add.
Beautiful. Oh, she added this up. I was just saying, can I get a T-shirt that had police across it? That's what I want.
How about I give you a patch? I'll tell you what. I'll bring you guys a nice polo shirt for having me on.
All right.
Sounds good.
This has been DJ Marky J, DJ Von Yvonne on the board, and DJ Easy. All right, you guys have a nice day.
Thanks, guys.